All right. Hey, everybody. How are you? Good. It's good to see you. Oh, I forgot to pick out a song. I'm supposed to play a song at the beginning of the Tao Te Ching, and I forgot to pick out a song. So we'll just skip that, I guess. If I have time, I'll pick out a song at the end. But since we aren't going to, Shauna's cheating. She's outside. since we are, I'm going to do a song. Why don't we just do a moment of silence? I'm going to plug my ears because my mom's on the phone. I want silence. Are you ready? Let's have a moment of silence. All right, that's it. Thank you very much for giving me that moment of silence. We're here for the Tao Te Ching. And today we're going to be looking at one of my favorite verses. I'm really excited. It's verse 29. And I'm most familiar with it from Stephen Mitchell. So you know what? I think I'm going to do things differently. I usually start with Derek Lynn, but I think I'll start with Stephen Mitchell, and then we'll see how Derek Lynn and Wayne Dyer translate it. But this is chapter 29 for the Tao Te Ching. Do you want to improve the world? I don't think it can be done. The world is sacred. It can't be improved. If you tamper with it, you'll ruin it. If you treat it like an object, you'll lose it. There is a time for being ahead. A time for being behind. My voice is quit. A time for your voice to quit. There is a time for being ahead. A time for being behind. A time for being in motion. A time for being at rest. A time for being vigorous. A time for being exhausted. A time for being safe. A time for being in danger. The masters see things as they are, without trying to control them. She lets them go their own way and resides at the center of the circle. I just love this verse, but before I dive in, I think it's only fair to see how Derek Lynn and Wayne Dyer translate this. So let's look at verse 29 with Derek Lynn. Those who wish to take the world and control it, I see that they cannot succeed. The world is a sacred instrument. One cannot control it. The one who controls it will fail. The one who grasps it will lose. Because all things either lead or follow. Either blow hot or cold, either have strength or weakness, either have ownership or take by force. Therefore, the sage eliminates extremes, eliminates excess, eliminates arrogance. That is different. I mean, it's the same, but obviously the words were different. The heart is exactly the same. So now let's look at Wayne Dyer. Have I told you guys my secret wish? I guess it's not really a wish because I forget about it all the time. And then once every couple of years, I remember. So it's not a very strong wish. But someday, if I have the time, I would like to write my own version of the Tao Te Ching. Yeah. Okay, so do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Everything under heaven is a sacred vessel and cannot be controlled. Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we lose. Allow your life to unfold naturally. Know that it too is a vessel of perfection. Just as you breathe in and breathe out, there is a time for being ahead and a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, and a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, and a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, and a time for being in danger. To the sage, all of life is a movement toward perfection. So what need has he for the excessive, the extravagant, or the extreme? So what's interesting this time is that actually Wayne Dyer and Stephen Mitchell are most alike, and Derek Lynn is the one that's a little different. That usually doesn't happen. Usually it's Derek Lynn and Wayne Dyer are alike, and Stephen Mitchell is different. So it's, I don't know, doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of interesting. But I'm going to grab Ramana Maharshi. I think he should help us with this. Come here, Ramana. Now I got to get my pillows all organized again. I don't have a desk here, so I'm sitting in bed. Oops, I'm teaching. I'm fine.
I know about that. You call my name.
Nope. Okay. Moms. Okay, this is Ramana. And the reason we're going to use Ramana, we're going to use, here, I'll just show you that it is indeed Ramana. See? And the reason we're going to use Ramana is we're going to use Ramana as a pendulum. So I'll start swinging that pendulum. And what I'd like you to notice is that the pendulum swings to the left and the right to the same degree. Like if I really swing it to the left, make it go higher, it goes back to the exact same degree. Do you see that? If I slow it down, slow down, Ramana. See, it slows down both left and right, you know? So the Tao is like a pendulum. When the Tao is still, absolutely still, well, one of two things is happening, I guess you could say. There is a corrective force at work in the world, or there's no manifestation at all. But once people start trying to control the world, you know, like let's say I decide that global warming is a big problem. Donald Trump is ignoring it. I need to get out there and be a voice for global warming. So I start typing in Facebook. I even get involved maybe in some groups that have meetings about it, right? When I do that, when I start trying to improve the world, it's like I take this pendulum and I swing it. I'm going this direction trying to improve the world. But at some point, that pendulum has to swing back in the opposite direction, which in this case would be, we'll call it the destruction of the world, the pollution of the world. So this is what a lot of spiritual people do not understand. And this is what this verse of the Tao is all about. And it's not just improving the world, it's improving our personal lives, improving our children's lives, you know, anything that we think is not okay. And we take it upon ourselves to try and improve it. We mess with it. That's what this is saying. We mess with it. Perfection would come from the still pendulum. Perfection never comes from us trying to improve it, because it has to swing back in the opposite direction to an equal degree. So that's what we're looking at today. And it's my very, very favorite Tao lesson. This is why acceptance of what is the answer. Acceptance of what is the still pendulum, right? But again, as soon as you start trying to control things, you push the pendulum and you're going to get an opposite reaction, right? That's even true in physics, isn't it? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So it's true in physics. In physics, you could say manifestation is somewhat of a mirror of spiritual laws. But it's also true in the spiritual laws, and this is what we need to focus on. So why don't we go ahead and take Wayne Dyer, since I've read Stephen Mitchell so many times. We'll probably go back and look at Stephen Mitchell, but let's just do Wayne Dyer today as our primary. 29th verse. Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. I mean, those sentences alone are incredibly powerful. You know, I always kind of feel sorry for people now with my spiritual realization in place. I feel sorry for people who do things like run for president of the United States, because I understand that they genuinely think they can improve things. They wouldn't run otherwise, you know, and they can't. I mean, yeah, sure, they might resolve some issue, but for every issue that they resolve, a new issue is going to be born, because that pendulum is going to swing. So you can't actually improve the world. You can maybe change it, mess with it, but again, new problems are going to be created. There's another way to understand these first two sentences. Do you think you can take over the universe? And isn't that what someone who's running for president thinks they can do? They can take over the universe, right? Even if they're just running for president of the United States, because the United States is so powerful, they really think they can take over the universe and improve it. Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. So one reason it can't be done is because that pendulum is going to swing. Whatever you try to fix, something else will become broken. And again, you can see that. I mean, there are diseases in the history of man that have been, you know, gotten rid of, right? Like the Black Plague isn't around anymore, right? But then there's new diseases like AIDS. You know, so was disease eradicated? No. You know, just one form and a new form is born, right? So you can see if you know, wars. I mean, we've ended wars before. We've had peace treaties before, but there are always new wars, right? I mean, if you look at this with any kind of sanity, you can see that you cannot improve the world. But there's another way to understand these two verses, and that is that the spiritual law that governs the world is absolutely perfect. You can't change the spiritual law. You can't improve upon the way the divine operates. It's perfect. And one way to see its perfection is to see it as perfect freedom. I mean, that's really the way I started to see its perfection, is that when I was the scribe of NTI, what NTI really emphasized was that our freedom is absolutely perfect, that we can do anything at all with this freedom. I mean, I can do like so many other people are doing now. I can grab a gun and start shooting up people, you know? Or I can sit back and watch TV and hate the people who grab the guns and start shooting at people. I can do anything at all that I want, and I am always innocent. A lot of people have trouble buying into that, but that's true. And the reason I am always innocent is because there are no limits on our freedom. There are no restrictions. Yes, Jacqueline.
Now, sorry to interrupt, but the part that is the most difficult for me is to watch other people suffering. It's not whether, you know, they're guilty or innocent, but to just see the suffering. And that's the hardest part, to like keep the hands off the pendulum.
Well, let me try and remember to get back to that then. I guess just briefly, when you have a genuine understanding that pushing the pendulum is what causes the suffering, that takes your hands off the pendulum, right? I mean, that's the genuine understanding you have to have, is when you try to fix, and you may fix, but then that pendulum's going to swing back and a new problem's going to be born. A new suffering is going to be born. So the only thing you can actually do is put a Band-Aid on the situation. The perfection comes from the still pendulum. Right? Now, do you remember what I was saying before you said that? Oh, yes. Absolute freedom. So I think I've completely lost that train of thought. I don't even think I can get back to it. It's gone. Bonzo. You know, that's the way my mind is now. You know, what's here is here and what's not here is not here. So tell you what, let me just read this again. Let's see if it comes back. Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Okay, so what I was talking about was the perfection of spiritual law. So let's get back to that point. All right? Spiritual law is absolutely perfect, and you cannot improve it. And one way to start seeing that, at least the way that the Holy Spirit worked with me, was looking at the absolute freedom that we have. This is, and the purpose of this, again, is to help us see the perfection of spiritual law. We can do anything at all that we want. Anything at all that we want. And we are absolutely innocent. Because there is no line anywhere in our freedom that we can cross and become guilty. That's what I mean by absolute freedom. And what that also means is we can have any experience we want to experience. Anything. I mean, imagine if you were a novel writer or a play writer or a movie writer. And imagine you're writing this movie that, you know, just feels like an incredible creation. And then the producer or somebody that has authority over you comes up and says, you can't put murder in this play, or you can't put a man cheating on his wife in this movie, or you can't, you know, it's like, you know, how are you going to feel? Like you're writing this great, maybe even you think it's going to be a future masterpiece. And now you're told, but you can't do this part. You know, that's not permitted. Well, in God's law, in divine law, that doesn't exist. We can create any experience we want, and that is the perfection. That unlimited freedom, that absolute freedom, is the perfection of divine law, and you cannot mess with that. You can't take that away. You will never become unfree. You will never become restricted. You can have the experience of unfree and the experience of restricted, right? You cannot ever actually be unfree, never actually be restricted. So the perfection is that we can do anything we want. And so what that really means is that at some point we need to pause and we need to ask what we want, right? And understanding how spiritual law works is a very important part of that process. Because again, the spiritual law works like the pendulum. If I decide to create a world where no child is left behind in education, somehow that's going to spin back and, you know, people start shooting up schools or something, right? I mean, I don't think shooting up schools was happening back when No Child Left Behind policy happened. I don't know for sure. But, you know, something else, some other problem is going to occur, right? So when I understand that, when I understand the spiritual pendulum, by the way, there's a word for that. That's called duality. That's what duality is, right? Duality is that spiritual law, that pendulum. So when I understand duality, when I understand the pendulum, and I ask, what do I want? Then I understand that what I want is stillness. What I want is what the Course calls, I need do nothing. What I want is what NTI calls acceptance, what Michael Langford calls the loving all method. You see, these are all the same. Do you see? what Michael Singer calls unconditional happiness. These are all different words at different spirit. Oh, and Adya Shanti calls it, I haven't read Adya Shanti True Meditation long enough. Allowance, is that what he calls it? Isn't it like a very deep allowance? Somebody has True Meditation, you can open up and look it up for me and type it in.
But allowing all things to be as they are.
Allowing. Yeah, I knew allowing was in there. Allowing all things to be as they are in a very deep way, I think he adds, right? Allowing all. So you see, these teachings, they're different words, but they're all the same. They're all about choosing to be the still pendulum, because you understand only through the still pendulum can actual correction that does not cause duality come about. Actual correction. Because, you know, it's an artificial correction if it creates another problem, right? That's not an actual correction. It looks like a correction, but another problem is born. So it's not a real correction. Actual correction can only come through stillness, through I need do nothing, through acceptance, through the loving all method, through allowing everything to be exactly as it is in a very deep way, through unconditional happiness, right? Now, you know, I'm sure I'll probably keep talking. I usually do. And we even have more to read here. But in a way, there's nothing else to say. What there is to do is to accept that. To accept that very, very deeply as spiritual law, as spiritual truth. You know, there's another verse in the Tao Te Ching that says, when the foolish man hears the Tao, he laughs out loud. You know, so if you hear the problem, you know, the we saw on the news the other night that Alaska is melting, right? If you see the problem and then someone tells you the solution is to be at peace with that, the foolish man laughs out loud, like, that's not going to solve anything. I need to push this and push that and convince these people and do this. And, you know, but that's the pushing of the pendulum. This won't happen, I don't think, in my lifetime, but wouldn't it be interesting to see what would happen if everyone would just stop and be still for 7 days? Just 7 days. But of course, you know, I can't make anybody else be still. And if I'm trying to make other people be still, guess what I'm doing? I'm pushing the pendulum. I always think it's funny when people have these spiritual purposes where they say, you know, like, let's stop the war in Iraq. Let's all get together at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to meditate. But you know what they did? They already identified a problem that had to be fixed. Yeah, stillness is the answer, but not the identifying of the problem part. That's actually still artificial correction. You've said, this is not okay. This war in Iraq is not okay. So we need to gather together and be still. That's still pushing the pendulum. Not pushing the pendulum is allowing everything to be as it is in a very deep way. It's loving, the loving all method. It's complete acceptance, unconditional happiness. It doesn't define problems. It sees the world as perfect. And we just need to accept this so that we can begin to behave from this insight. And that's what this verse is all about. And in fact, at the bottom, to the sage, all of life is a movement toward perfection. So what need has he for the excessive, for the extravagant, and for the extreme? Or as Stephen Mitchell says, the master sees things as they are without trying to control them. She lets them go their own way and resides at the center of the circle. You see, that's the loving all method. That's allowing all things to be exactly as they are in a very deep way. That's unconditional acceptance, unconditional happiness. That's the cure. That's what allows the corrective energy to come into the universe, the corrective energy that is not a part of duality. Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Everything under heaven is a sacred vessel and cannot be controlled. Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we lose. So that's referring to the pendulum, right? Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we could say the situations that we want, the things that we want, we lose, right? Duality. Now listen to this sentence. This is a powerful sentence. Allow your life to unfold naturally. If you really listen to that sentence, there's no control in it. There's no identifying problems and trying to fix them in it. Allow your life to unfold naturally. And the only way that you can do that is to be happy with everything as it is. Now, the interesting thing about the Tao, and this is where I always hope people hear me with clarity, because you can hear me with confusion in what I'm about to say. The interesting thing about the Tao is that when you are empty, that corrective energy that comes through can come through you and move you. Which means if there are hungry people, you may be the body that goes and collects the money and buys the food and feeds the hungry. But the difference is, and this is a very core difference that we have to pay attention to, it's not coming from your self-will. It's not coming from your judgment. You're just empty and you're just being moved by the Tao, because the Tao is going to function through manifestation. So this takes extreme self-honesty. You know, because this is a great place where you can lie to yourself. You can see something that you think wants to be fixed. You can come up with an idea on how to fix it or change it. And you can call it guidance and take those steps. So this is where you, I mean, the amount of self-honesty it takes is incredible. But every one of us is capable of that. You know, there's a place in me that I can find very easily if I just look for it. Now, this is the key. You have to look for it. And that place in me is genuinely okay with whatever is and with whatever happens. And when I find that place in me, if I then, from that place, find myself looking at a situation and finding myself sharing words or sharing out ideas on how to change that situation, I know it's not coming from me. You know, like I have to be 100% okay with awakening together, falling apart completely, and ceasing to end over the next 6 months. 100% okay. If I'm not 100% okay with that, I'm going to be leading from the desire to keep awakening together going. You see? And that's pushing the pendulum. So I have to go in and I have to focus on, it's okay. You know, it's okay if this happens. It's okay, and mean it. It's okay if this happens. It's okay. And then as ideas come, which, you know, since that's my current job right now, ideas are going to come. then I can feel more comfortable with those ideas because they didn't come from me. They didn't come from me trying to make awakening together survive or make awakening together into something. In fact, we have a couple of policies. Let me share my screen. I'll show you guys these policies. I don't know if everybody knows about them. I don't want to lose this website, so let me go somewhere else. I'll never find it again. Well, I probably will, but it's what I was working on before we started. I want to go back and continue working on that. So I want to go to Awakening Together. And I'm going to go to Read. And I'm going to go to Governance Documents. And I'm going to go down here where it says Constitution, Bylaws, Policies, and Procedures. But what I want to show you is Awakening Together's Financial Philosophy and Growth Philosophy. Hear the word philosophy. This means that this is really the way that the leaders of the organization, the directors and the trustees, decided to think. Okay, they agreed in a meeting, in an in-person meeting in Canyon City, to think this way about the organization. So here's how we decided to think about finances. The Awakening Together mission and core values guide the stewardship of all resources, which must serve the whole over any individual. We acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends. In order to aid their decision-making, we commit to transparency regarding our finances. You know, most organizations have financial goals, like we want to increase our donations 10% every year, or, you know, something like that. Notice all we're saying is whatever resources we have, our mission and our core values has to be considered in how we spend them. Also, the needs of the whole has to be considered in how we spend them. We understand that our members give from their hearts, and we will share information so they can make decisions. There's no control in that. Let me show you our growth philosophy. To allow growth through surrender rather than promotion, without attachment to any particular form, outcome, or expression. We welcome friends to the community by being the loving invitation to remember the one true self. Look at this. This is our philosophy. To allow growth through surrender rather than promotion. We're not out there trying to overly promote ourselves, get people to hear about us. We also do not have any attachments to the way Awakening Together is supposed to look, not to any particular form, not to any particular outcome, not to any particular expression. We just want to be that one true self. And through that, we trust we will attract people. Now, these philosophies were written at a time when everybody was pretty clear-headed. Yes, Jacqueline.
Yeah, I'm interrupting again. I realize that. I just want to be clear that that doesn't mean that if we advertise on Find the Divine or beef up the YouTube channel or do something like that, that doesn't make us bad. That doesn't make us in violation of our policy. That there's a natural, you know, like you said, over promoting, you know, if we're like, oh my God, we're going to run out of money. And so we got to do this stuff, then that's a problem. But if it naturally unfolds that way, it's not a deal.
Yeah. And in fact, as you know, I felt totally cool with Find the Divine. There are other types of promotion. When people start talking about promotion, there's something in me that goes, no. And you can see it, you know, when it happens, I can feel that. I can feel that, you know, grasping. Right? There's a certain type of promotion that is grasping. And there's a certain type of promotion that's just, it just feels natural. It feels natural. You know, like it feels natural, for example, Don was saying when people come to our YouTube channel, it feels natural to give them information about our website. that's like a trail of breadcrumbs they can naturally follow. That's not the same as, I don't know, it's hard for me to even think of what these other examples might be, but that's not the same as coming together with, oh my gosh, there aren't enough people coming. We need to get more people. How can we get more people? Right? And starting from there, it's a completely different position. So, if people want to be highly judgmental, they could say even having a website is a form of promotion, right? Yet it's completely natural to have a website in today's world, is it not? Or having a sign, you know, in front of the retreat house is promotion. But we really have to watch. And again, this is what I said earlier. This comes from extreme self-honesty. What we really have to watch is, what is our purpose? Where is it coming from? I mean, there is a part of me, when people start talking about promotion, I want to leave the organization. You've seen that in me, I'm sure. I want to leave the organization. I don't, it's like, I don't want to be a part of that energy. I'd rather not have a job. You know, I just don't want to be a part of that. And as long as you have someone, you know, in the president minister job who has that intuition and other people respect and listen to that person, we're going to be okay. But if you get somebody in the president minister job who starts worrying about the numbers and, okay, we got to, we're not going to be okay. This takes extreme self-honesty. And it takes wanting to be the Tao and nothing else. Or wanting to be the stillness, wanting to be the true self, wanting to accept the atonement for yourself. I mean, that's what that sentence in A Course in Miracles is all about. It's the exact same teaching. The miracle worker's sole responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. Now, it does call that individual a miracle worker, which means through accepting the atonement through yourself, that corrective energy is coming into the universe, right? You are a miracle worker. But you're not focused on trying to fix things. You're focused on accepting the atonement for yourself. That has to be the attitude. Now let me go back to this. So I'll start at the top. Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Everything under heaven is a sacred vessel and cannot be controlled. Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we lose. Allow your life to unfold naturally. Know that it too is a vessel of perfection. That means whatever it looks like right now. How tempting is it to look at your life and find problems that need to be fixed? But this says, allow your life to unfold naturally. Know that it too is a vessel of perfection. That means right now. And again, if you don't accept this attitude, you're going to push the pendulum. And you're going to participate in duality. So you have to have a deep, deep understanding of this. Just as you breathe in and breathe out, there is a time for being ahead and a time for being behind. Now, I'll tell you what I hear in this before I finish reading it. What I hear in this is because, I mean, how many of you have lived your entire life and have never pushed the pendulum? Raise of hands, please. Yeah, I don't see anybody raising their hands. Okay, I see one liar. Anybody else telling the truth? Anybody else? I saw one liar, but he's a joker, so I'm sure. Other than the liar, anybody else? Yeah, we've all pushed the pendulum, right? So what that means is this is already in motion right now. It's not like your meditation this morning stopped it. Right, this is already in motion. So with this already in motion, there is a time for being ahead and a time for being behind. Do you see that in the pendulum? Sometimes you're going to have more leisurely days, and sometimes you're going to be, oh my God, I've got so much to do. How can I survive? They're right there. They're in that duality. There's a time for being emotion and a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous and a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe and a time for being in danger, because this pendulum's already moving. But I'll tell you what's important about this is you have to accept all of that as perfect if that pendulum is ever going to slow down. Look how fast it slowed down when I just said that. And to be honest, I just said that. I didn't do anything to make it stop. And that's the truth. I wasn't swinging my finger. I just swung it while I was talking. It was going back and forth. And when I said that, all by itself, it slowed down and stopped. And I am telling 100% truth. You guys just witnessed a miracle. And that miracle happened so that we would understand this. You have to be completely happy with the days when you have everything done and you have time to sit there and watch the sunset, which isn't hard. But you also have to be completely happy on the days when there's so much work. At the same time, there's more work coming in and you have no idea how you're going to get it done. That's how the pendulum slows down. You have to be completely happy with the days when you feel healthy and good and strong, and with the days when you feel sick and weak and headachy. You have to be perfectly happy with the days when there's plenty of money in your bank account, not only to pay all the bills, but for some things that you've been kind of wanting. And you'd be perfectly happy with the days when there isn't enough money in your bank account to pay the bills and you're not sure how you're going to do it. You see, if we aren't perfectly happy with everything, that pendulum will never stop swinging like it just now did, and we all witnessed it, and I swear to you, I didn't do a thing to make it stop. It stopped when I started sharing, here's how you make it stop, and it went, do you see how quick it happened? And it stopped. I'm scared to try and do it again because, you know, because I didn't do it. I'm like, oh no, what if it doesn't happen again? But I'll tell you, all I did, I can't have you see both at the same time. The screen isn't large enough. But all I did, I was holding this up here still. And all I did was this, and it just kept swinging and swinging all by itself. I'm not moving it. It's just swinging and swinging. See? And then I started talking about, to slow it down, you have to be happy. Oh, look, it is going to happen again. Slow it down, you have to be happy with both sides. I didn't change anything, and it slowed. I think it's trying to tell us something. So that's what this means. There is a time for being ahead and a time for being behind. You have to see it that way. It's all okay. It's okay when I'm ahead and it's okay when I'm behind. It's okay when there's no traffic and it's okay when there's a traffic jam. Right? It's okay when, you know, people tell me I look pretty, and it's okay when people ask me if I got any sleep last night. I'd look tired. It's okay. It's all okay because that pendulum is in motion. It's in motion because I've been pushing the pendulum my entire life. And now the only way that I can stop pushing the pendulum is to be okay with both sides of the swing. You see? And the foolish man learns about the Tao and laughs out loud. But the wise man learns about the Tao and embraces it immediately. It's just the loving all method. It's just accepting everything as it is. It's just allowing everything to be as it is in a very deep way. It's just unconditional happiness. It's nothing new. I mean, how many of you, this is completely new information? Yeah, nobody, right? But how many of you live it 100% in your life? Even think about it every day. think about living it every day. Yeah, okay, Jacqueline says she thinks about it. Shauna says she thinks about it. I believe that because we, you know, we teach it so regularly. To the sage, all of life is a movement toward perfection. Now, you can understand that line if you understand what we just now talked about. The fact that, again, the pendulum is already in motion, right? It's already in motion. But the way to slow the pendulum is to love both sides of that motion, right? So in order to slow both sides, in order to love both sides of that motion and love the pendulum, sorry, I'm having trouble speaking now. In order to love both sides of that motion and slow the pendulum, you have to see both sides as perfect. And you see both sides as perfect by understanding the spiritual law, understanding the perfection in it, understanding the freedom to have any experience we want, the freedom to push the pendulum. If you accept the spiritual law as it is and you love the spiritual law and therefore you say, yes, I know I've been pushing the pendulum all my life. This is showing me that I am divine. That's a great way to look at it. This is showing me that I am divine, that I can push the pendulum and I can experience duality, right? However, I mean, it really doesn't matter what philosophy you use to talk yourself into it. You know, I think in Gentle Healing Year One, we talk about how we use illusions that point toward truth. You know, not everything on the path to truth is truth. Some things on the path to truth are untrue, or you could even call them manipulation. You know, like you're manipulating yourself, or the teacher is manipulating you into thinking the right way by sharing with you something that's not quite true. That's an illusion, but it's an illusion that points to truth. So you can, whatever you could do to genuinely talk yourself into loving everything is okay. You know, whatever works. But it's the actual process of loving everything as it is. That's the only corrective energy in the whole wide world. The only true corrective energy, because all other corrections are just a part of duality. So you want to see everything as a movement toward perfection. It's a movement towards perfection because you're loving it as it is. And that's the only way to move towards perfection. To the sage, all of life is a movement towards perfection. So what need has he for the excessive, the extravagant, or the extreme? We could read that last line as, so what need does he have for pushing the pendulum? Right? If everything's perfect as it is, he doesn't have anything he needs to fix. Let's read Stephen Mitchell again, because this is the one that, you know, I've fallen in love with. Do you want to improve the world? I don't think it can be done. The world is sacred. It can't be improved. If you tamper with it, you'll ruin it. If you treat it like an object, and we could say an object that you can fix or an object that you can control, right? If you treat it like an object, you'll lose it. There is a time for being ahead, a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, a time for being in danger. The master sees things as they are, without trying to control them. She lets them go their own way and resides at the center of the circle. Let me get a drink of water, and then we'll look at Derek Lynn, because I remember his was a little different, and see if there's anything else we want to pick up there. Oh, I know, my mom. Did you hear my mom come in and say that? Say you called me, and I said no, I didn't. I bet when I said Ramana, I bet through the door that sounded like Mama, right? Ramana, Mama. It just kind of hit me when I saw him laying here. That might be where she thought I called her. Those who wish to take the world and control it, I see they cannot succeed. The world is a sacred instrument. One cannot control it. The one who controls it will fail. The one who grasps it will lose. And again, you can't control it, because to control it, and I can't do this now, no matter how hard I try, to control it would be to move the pendulum over here and then have it stop here. That's what people are trying to do. They're trying to move the pendulum over here and have it stop here. It ain't ever going to stop there. You can't control it, right? It's impossible. So you're going to fail. That's a guarantee. Those who wish to take the world and control it, I see that they cannot succeed. The world is a sacred instrument. One cannot control it. The one who controls it will fail. The one who grasps it will lose. That's why I feel sorry for people who run for president. They don't know this. Yeah. Because all things either lead or follow, either blow hot or cold, either have strength or weakness, either have ownership or take by force. So I just happened to, I don't usually look at this guy's footnotes at all, but I happened to notice this footnote, and I'm glad because I want to speak about it. He says, the Tao is all about balance. These descriptions depict the complementary balance that exists in nature, where different creatures play different roles, and all are necessary components in the interconnected web of ecology. All right, now, I understand that I'm nobody. I really do. And I understand the Tao has been around for 5,000 years or more. And I understand there have been a great many masters who have taught the Tao. I also think very few people have ever understood it. People talk about the yin and the yang, right? How it's supposed to always be in balance. That would say that duality has to.
Yeah, my phone just died. I mean, my computer just died. I mean, it just completely went out. So I'll have to deal with that later. But what I was about to say is, if you say that the Tao is about balance, then what you're saying is that duality has to remain duality. I think that's a complete misunderstanding of the Tao. And of course, I heard that interpretation of the Tao long before I ever read the Tao for myself. So I know it's an extremely popular interpretation. The Tao teaches there is balance in duality, right? There is balance. When the pendulum swings to the left to a certain degree, it also swings back to the right in a certain degree. But the Tao is not about balance. The Tao is about stillness. The Tao is about being happy with everything as it is. The Tao is about total acceptance. The balance is natural in duality, yes. And the Tao acknowledges that. But the purpose of the Tao is not to maintain the balance. The purpose of the Tao is to learn to be still, to learn to be empty. To learn, what is it that the Bhagavad Gita calls it? Equanimity. Equanimity and balance are not the same thing. So Let's see how I'm on time. I think that's about all the time I have anyway. So I will, I don't know, go see if I can get my computer to come back on. If not, I will take a walk. But by the way, let me just comment on that, because obviously, you know, I have a work scheduled today, and I use the computer for work. So I'm going to go and I'm going to see if I can get the computer to come back on. And it's natural to resolve things like that in life. The difference is the inner attitude. I'm going to see if I can get the computer to come back on. If I can, great. If I can't, then equally great, and I'll see what comes next. You know? So you want to be careful not to get paranoid about this teaching. Like, think, oh no, the computer can't, the computer just quit. I can't try and figure that out. I can't do anything about it, because that's natural. It's natural to now turn my attention to the computer. But what's my attitude? My attitude is, maybe it will work, maybe it won't. If it does, great. If it doesn't, then I'll figure out what the next step is and I'll take that step. But being happy all the time with all of those steps, you see? All right, releasing the mic, and I'm going to look at my computer. Bye.